Reason Over Rhetoric by Critical Thinker Press is a practical manifesto for anyone who wants to think more clearly, argue more effectively, and make better decisions in a world saturated with spin, emotional pressure, and half-truths. The book's central claim is simple but powerful. Rhetoric may win attention, but reason is what gets us closer to truth. Again and again, it argues that conversations become more meaningful when they are grounded in evidence, logic, and intellectual honesty, rather than in manipulation, performance, or ideological reflex. The author does not dismiss persuasion altogether. In fact, the book repeatedly acknowledges that rhetoric is part of human communication and can be useful when it clarifies ideas. But the key is to see rhetoric for what it is, to understand its limits, and to keep it from overruling reason. The opening section sets the tone by contrasting reason and rhetoric in a world where opinions flood every channel of life. Whether we are consuming news, scrolling social media, or talking to friends, we are constantly exposed to arguments designed to persuade us quickly. The problem is that persuasive language often works by bypassing careful thought. Reason, by contrast, asks us to slow down, check the evidence, and inspect whether a conclusion actually follows from the premises. The book frames reason not as cold abstraction, but as a compass that helps us navigate disagreement without losing sight of what is true. That first distinction becomes the foundation for everything that follows. In the chapter on understanding reason and rhetoric, the book emphasizes that reason is not simply about collecting facts. It is about making sure claims are logically connected and openly testable. A reasoned argument shows its work, it welcomes scrutiny, and it can be revised when new evidence appears. Rhetoric, meanwhile, often relies on style, repetition, emotional charge, and social cues. The text gives a range of rhetorical techniques to watch for, including exaggeration, bandwagon appeals, loaded language, false dilemmas, storytelling used as proof, and appeals to tradition. These devices are not always dishonest, but they can distort judgment if we mistake persuasive force for truth. One of the chapter's most important ideas is that awareness of rhetorical technique does not make communication less effective, it makes it more honest. By learning to spot how language shapes perception, we become harder to manipulate and better able to focus on the substance of an argument. The book then turns to the science behind critical thinking, arguing that rational thought is not our brain's default setting. Human beings rely on mental shortcuts to function efficiently, but those shortcuts create cognitive biases that can skew judgment. The book walks through some of the most important ones, where we seek evidence that supports what we already believe. The availability heuristic, where vivid or recent examples feel more important than they are. Anchoring, where the first piece of information unduly shapes later judgment. The bandwagon effect, where perceived popularity influences belief. And overconfidence bias, where people think they know more than they do. These biases matter because they make flawed reasoning feel natural. The chapter also discusses tools for better analysis, slowing down thought, making thinking visible through notes or diagrams, cross-checking facts, using technology wisely, and reflecting after conversations to identify where bias may have entered. Critical thinking, in this view, is a disciplined habit rather than a talent. From there, the book builds a foundation of facts. This section insists that reason can only work if it is built on reliable evidence. Facts are not just assertions that sound authoritative. They are claims that can be verified. The book stresses several qualities of reliable evidence. It must be verifiable, consistent, contextually grounded, and sourced from trustworthy methods and institutions. A claim from a peer-reviewed study carries more weight than an anonymous online post, and a statistic means little if the method of collection is unclear. The author repeatedly warns against cherry-picking, oversimplifying, and generalizing beyond the scope of the evidence. Facts, the book says, must be treated with care because they are the raw material from which better reasoning is built. Without that bedrock, arguments are just performance. The distinction between data and opinion receives special attention. The book explains that opinions are not inherently worthless, but they should not be confused with factual claims. A speaker may say, "I believe," "it seems," or "in my opinion," all of which signal interpretation rather than proof. By contrast, language like "studies show," or "the data indicates," suggests evidence, though even that requires verification. The practical goal here is to train readers to ask whether a claim is genuinely grounded in observable fact, or whether it is a preference, interpretation, or emotional reaction dressed up as truth. This distinction matters in ordinary life as much as in debates, because advertisements, media, and casual conversation constantly blend facts and opinions together. The chapter on emotional appeals explores how pathos can hijack discussion. The book is careful not to portray emotion as the enemy. Emotions matter, and they are part of human communication. But emotional appeals become dangerous when they substitute for evidence or short-circuit reflection. The author identifies common emotional tactics: vivid personal stories, fear-based urgency, emotionally charged language, sorrowful images, music or tone designed to prime feelings, and appeals like "think of the children" that pressure people to respond emotionally rather than logically. The point is not to become emotionless. It is to notice when the emotional temperature of an argument is being used strategically. The book offers practical ways to stay grounded, such as pausing before reacting, translating emotional claims into explicit factual claims, writing down arguments to separate content from style, and asking questions that slow the discussion down. In this chapter, logic is not framed as a rejection of feeling, but as the discipline that keeps feeling from becoming a dictator. Next comes a broad and useful chapter on logical fallacies. These are the hidden errors that can make an argument seem persuasive while actually weakening it. The book covers some of the most familiar fallacies, including appeal to authority, strawman arguments, false dichotomies, ad hominem attacks, slippery slope reasoning, and more, and the use of vagueness or ambiguity to avoid scrutiny. The author's concern is not merely academic. Fallacies are presented as everyday habits of thought that can quietly distort conversations and keep people from seeing clearly. They are seductive because they often feel intuitive, especially when they align with pre-existing beliefs or emotions. The book emphasizes that the best way to address fallacies is not to police others aggressively, but to ask clarifying questions, keep the tone respectful, and restate the issue in terms of evidence. Sometimes the most effective response is simply to make your own argument stronger and clearer, so that fallacious reasoning can be seen for what it is. The discussion of reconsidering long-held beliefs deepens the book's psychological insight. Beliefs are not just abstract positions, they are tied to identity, belonging, and emotional security. That is why they resist change. When new evidence challenges a belief, cognitive dissonance emerges, creating discomfort that people instinctively try to reduce. They may dismiss the evidence, rationalize inconsistencies, or seek out reinforcing information. The book makes clear that this resistance is not simply stubbornness. It is a human defense mechanism. But intellectual growth requires the courage to tolerate discomfort. The chapter recommends open-ended reflection, exposure to alternative views, emotional regulation, and a willingness to treat beliefs as provisional rather than sacred. It also encourages viewing ideas as hypotheses that can be tested, revised, or abandoned, rather than as permanent monuments to one's identity. This is one of the book's strongest themes. Rationality depends on humility. That same theme carries into the chapter on ideologies and worldviews. Here the author explains that everyone interprets facts through some kind of ideological lens, whether political, religious, cultural, or philosophical. These worldviews shape what we notice, what we dismiss, and what we think counts as a valid argument. The challenge is not to pretend we have no bias, but to recognize when ideological commitments are coloring our judgment. The book discusses motivated reasoning, echo chambers, and the way people can end up talking past each other because they start from different assumptions. It urges readers to pay attention to framing, language, and the emotional weight attached to certain concepts. The broader message is that disagreements are often less about the facts themselves than about the filters through which those facts are interpreted. Once we understand that, we can engage more patiently and more intelligently. The chapter on morality through reason takes a careful, nuanced approach. Rather than suggesting that ethics can be reduced to simple calculation, the book argues that moral debate becomes clearer when it is guided by reasoning and evidence. Moral claims should be examined for consistency, consequences, fairness, and compatibility with other truths we accept. At the same time, the book warns against two extremes: blind adherence to moral tradition without scrutiny, and a cold devotion to data that ignores human values. Evidence can tell us what is happening, but it cannot by itself tell us what ought to matter. The author's solution is balance. Moral reasoning should combine empathy and logic, values and facts. Discussions about ethics become more productive when people can explain not only what they believe, but why, and when they are willing to revise their moral views in the face of new information. The section on strengthening arguments with evidence returns to the practical craft of persuasion. Facts alone are not enough. They must be selected, verified, and arranged into a logical structure. The book stresses the importance of high-quality sources, transparent methods, cross-referencing, and contextual presentation. It warns against overwhelming listeners with numbers or using data without explanation. Good evidence should support the argument clearly, not obscure it. The author also emphasizes the difference between primary and secondary sources and encourages readers to understand where information comes from before using it. In this part of the book, evidence is presented as the backbone of argumentation. If the backbone is weak, the whole structure collapses. The chapter on constructive conversations shows how reason can be practiced socially. The goal of discussion, the book argues, should not be victory, but mutual understanding. Respectful discourse depends on active listening, thoughtful questioning, calm tone, humility, and a willingness to admit uncertainty. The author repeatedly suggests framing disagreements as shared puzzles rather than personal battles. A conversation becomes much more productive when people feel heard and when they can explore ideas without fear of humiliation. The book also stresses that tone matters, both in person and in writing. Avoiding sarcasm, exaggeration, and absolutist language helps keep the conversation centered on substance. Disagreements in this framework are not failures. They are opportunities for better reasoning, clearer thinking, and deeper insight. The next chapter expands this approach to everyday decision-making. Critical thinking, the book says, should not be confined to formal debates or intellectual settings. It should guide ordinary choices: what to buy, what to read, whom to trust, how to invest, and how to respond to media messages. Everyday life is full of persuasive forces that appeal to emotion or social pressure. A rational person pauses, checks evidence, considers alternatives, and asks whether a feeling is genuinely informative or just a bias in disguise. The chapter emphasizes that repeated reflection builds habits. By making this process part of daily life, critical thinking becomes less like a special effort and more like a default mode of living. The final chapter pulls all of the book's themes together into a lifelong practice. Cultivating a rational mindset, the author says, is not a destination, but an ongoing discipline. It requires curiosity, humility, emotional balance, and a commitment to evidence over convenience. The rational mind is not cold or detached. It is flexible, self-correcting, and open to growth. The book closes by encouraging readers to keep learning, keep questioning, and keep revisiting assumptions. In the end, reason over rhetoric is not just about winning conversations. It is about becoming the kind of person who can face complexity without panic, disagreement without defensiveness, and uncertainty without surrendering to manipulation. That is the deeper promise of the book: a way of thinking that does not merely sharpen arguments, but enriches life itself.